Hello, welcome back to Sports Sport Podcast, episode 24. I'm Aiden.
I'm Billy.
And Alejandro is not here with us.
Again.
But we will get straight to the NFL and free agency.
So, pretty much for all of sports, just like last week when I was talking about the NFL and basically Corona, that's basically all we have today, pretty much.
Yeah, there's not much to cover.
NFL free agency is the only thing left standing in terms of anything that's fun about sports, than the UFC, which has no crowd,
and WWE,
if you consider that to be a sport. But, you know, it's just been really rough with Corona, I think, just because this is nothing left anymore. And free agency is starting to slow down. It was really good at the start, but now it's slowing down, and it's just dragging some more. So it's like, it's just tough. But thankfully, we had one of the most packed free agencies in terms of quarterbacks ever to really go into a free agency period ever. You had Rivers, you had Brady, you had Foles, you had Breeze, who was for sure going back to the Saints, but nonetheless, he was still in there. Flacco got released and all this.
Bridgewater
was in there. Winston, still in there. Cam Newton's on the trade block. Just Brissett. And Brady, obviously. Just so many quarterbacks that were out there for this free agency that was
really, that are talented.
Yeah. And it's amazing how fast they went off the board, though. They hyped it up so much as one of the biggest quarterback free agencies of all time, which, yes, that's true, but they went off the board so fast, and now it just seems like it wasn't as packed as it was, as they said it was going to be. But it was packed, and most of the quarterbacks changed teams. I think pretty much all of them changed teams that were on the market. Besides for Breeze, everybody left.
And Winston's still out there.
Yeah, but he's not coming back to Tampa Bay. No way.
And Newton wants to stay, but they're basically telling him he has to leave.
Which is probably a good call, because I don't think they're going to do much with Newton.
Yeah.
In there, especially after all the injuries and stuff, and Rule wants to start a new offense and all that. And they got Joe Brady from LSU as their own coordinator, so it makes a lot of sense for them to move on from Cam, obviously. And Cam is still a good quarterback. He won the MVP 5 years ago. So he's far off of that, but nonetheless, that was only 5 years ago. So he still has that in him, and I think he's only 30. So Cam still has a lot. But anyways, into the free agency signings. Former Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers. We knew a couple months ago that Philip was going to leave the Chargers, because the Chargers pretty much released it that they were going to re-sign him. Kind of signing it seemed like the Patriots and the Chargers both knew that they weren't going to get their respective quarterbacks back, but for some reason the Patriots just let that one hold out. Probably as they were holding out hope for it, but Chargers, they just didn't want Philip back anymore, and Philip Rivers decided to sign with the Indianapolis Colts.
After they lost Andrew Luck.
After Andrew Luck went, Rivers signed a 1-year, $25 million deal. I don't believe all of that's guaranteed like the Brady deal is, but Rivers to the Colts. Rivers really wasn't that great last season. Definitely a big drop off, I thought. I personally thought he wasn't amazing. Just his throws were really off. He was super inconsistent. He'd have games that were, more interceptions than touchdowns. You see the drop off from 2018 to 2019. In 2018, he had a 105.5 quarterback rating, which is very good.
Mm-hmm.
His average for his career is a 95.1, so that was a really good step up. And he had 32 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, which is a great ratio, and a 68.3% completion percentage with 4,308 yards. Now, he had a step up in yardage, but the yardage really is just based off of attempts and just forcing down the field, because that's what Philip was pretty much doing all of last season. Kind of like Winston. Winston was the league leader in yardage, I believe. And he was horrible last year. He threw 30 picks, 30 touchdowns. But that's just because they threw him 50 times a game, because they couldn't run the ball that much last year. Even with Ronald Jones, who had on and off games, but they couldn't run the ball at all for like a decent value to get down the field. And, you know, Rivers, he had a running game. Melvin held out, though, and stuff like that. And then in 2019, it was just a complete fall off. He went from a 105 passer rating to an 88.5, which is not good. It's average, but it's not good. Then he had 23 touchdowns to 20 interceptions on that ratio. It's the interceptions. It's really been him really bad. And he had 300 more yards, and his completion percentage dropped down by 2%, which isn't a huge drop-off, but at the same time, you know, look at his passes that he was trying to make downfield and like the crucial passes he'd try to make in a game that he would try to get back into a game with. He couldn't complete those. He couldn't make any of the big plays downfield like he used to. And his accuracy just really fell off. I don't know what was the cause of that, because he had a great offense going in and a great defense. And the Chargers were projected to be one of the good teams, especially after having a decent run last year. And he just completely fell off. But which makes it kind of confusing for me why the Colts signed Phillip. I know that Phillip, obviously, he's proven, but he's 38. He had a big drop-off season. You have Jacoby Brissett in your back pocket, who before getting injured had a good season. Mm-hmm. And he was like seriously being considered as one of the top quarterbacks in the league at that point.
Yeah.
And like he was leading the Colts to wins. They were doing good without Andrew. And then Jacoby gets injured and he comes back and he's just not really the same type of guy, but still, like, he's still healing from that injury. Phillip's been healthy this whole entire time last season and he did not do good at all. So I don't really know why you would take Phillip in and bench Jacoby for just a little bit. It just doesn't make sense at all. So on to our next one. So that's my thoughts on Phillip Rivers. I didn't think that was the best signing. I think Phillip would have been better off going to another team possibly than the Colts, and the Colts would have been better off not signing him. And then the big news of the day was Brady going to the Buccaneers. Which was a shocker.
Came into the game really late, but they also had a really strong offer, apparently. Not the most expected of teams for him to go to. Definitely not the greatest of franchises at this point in time. But, I feel like Jameis Winston's probably understands it, because Brady's obviously much better than him.
The best player of all time.
And he's going to a stacked offense and a really good team that just didn't really perform like they should have. Had a lot of close games, just didn't really come out on the winning side of most of them. And they think Brady can be the person who solves that, and he probably will be.
Yeah, Brady, I think the NFC South right now and just every team in there is primed to make a really good run, so it's going to be really interesting. The Buccaneers have a super hard schedule going into next season, and that's going to be tough for Brady as he's going to be 43 next year. So that's going to be tough for him. But at the same time, now he has he's never had as much weapons at wide receiver as he has now. Because he has two Pro Bowl wide receivers. He has Mike Evans and he has Chris Godwin. He has his tight end now. He has O.J. Howard. So there's his tight end that he's been wanting ever since Gronk left. And, you know, Ronald Jones is still developing. He's had flashes, so that could be a good run game. But as I said, I think last week, even if Ronald Jones can't perform, they can just draft the running back straight out of college, like J.K. Dobbins or something, and he can perform very well for them as well. One thing that I think is concerning for Brady to the Buccaneers, you know, he got guaranteed money and he has a no trade clause and he has a no franchise tag. It was 2 years, $50 million total, $25 million a year. It's all guaranteed. So that's like never been heard of. Just a whole entire contract being guaranteed in the NFL is pretty crazy, but it makes sense for them. But the one thing that concerns me about this Brady to the Bucs thing, it looks really, really good on paper that he has all these weapons now, but Brady's lived with a slot wide receiver his whole entire life.
He's always had someone to check down to. Now he only has D deep threats, and now he's going to feel more forced to throw the ball downfield, which, yes, he can do, but his arm's going to get, like, worn down if he's just constantly throwing the ball all the way down the field every single time. He needs his short, like, checkdowns or his, like, slant routes.
His receiving backs, he's kind of lacking those right now in Tampa.
Yeah, he really, I wouldn't say relied on his receiving backs, but they were, very crucial to his game.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that, you know, Deion Lewis might go over to the Bucs now that he's been released, and that's a familiar face and obviously a good receiving back for Brady, so that could solve that problem pretty easily. But I think the slot wide receiver thing is a huge problem because he's had one his whole entire career.
Wes Welker, really. He had Edelman.
Troy Brown, Welker, Edelman, Amendola, obviously.
Hogan, kind of.
Yeah. Yep. Really the closest he can get right now is Breshad Perriman. You could put him in the slot. He's really more of an outside type guy. But even then, they still haven't re-signed him, and he's going to probably cost a lot of money after having a good end of the season last year and performing like a top-tier wideout. So you're probably going to have to go get someone in free agency or trade for someone if you really want a slot. And right now, I don't see any slot wide receivers that could really fit into that system right now. You know, for free agents, there's not a lot out there. You know, Robbie Anderson's out there. Not really a slot.
Not so really familiar. What the Bucs would be looking for.
Yeah.
More signing that the Patriots should be looking at.
Yeah, they have – the Bucs have – I believe they have a good pick in the first round, so, you know, you could go and get Justin Jefferson from LSU. He's a slot wide receiver type guy, and he's tall, so, like, that's perfect. And he's fast, so that he's, like, ultimate slot wide receiver. You can go try to get him. You can get Henry Ruggs out of Bama. You know, there's a lot of options in the draft if you want to go that route. Because right now, for slot wide receivers, in terms of free agency, it's really bare bones right now. A lot of the wide receivers have already gone off the board.
Like Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, Sanders went off the board yesterday to another NFC South team. That was a really good signing by them. But Brady and Tampa, I think they're going to do really, really well. They are going to be a Super Bowl contender, but that slot wide receiver thing bugs me so much. It'll
take him
a
while to adjust to. So the first few weeks, he might look a little...
I think he's going to look a little shaky the first few weeks, but at the same time, Arians is giving him control. It's more of a loose environment for Brady than New England was, obviously.
It's kind of like how LeBron runs the coaching.
Yeah. Well, I think Arians is going to have control. It's just Brady's kind of like in co. I don't think any NFL coach is really going to give up their... spot as the head coach to a player like NBA coaches do. NBA coaches are just kind of like...
Brady's practically going to be the offensive coordinator, though.
NBA coaches are basically servants to their players.
Except Brad Stevens.
And Pop. But NFL coaches are more like... They're the leaders. They're the guys.
They're more intense.
Unless you're like... who's a good example of an NFL coach that's kind of like a servant? Like Jason Garrett last year, maybe. Or, you know, Anthony Lynn over in L.A. for the Chargers, kind of. And, I don't know, Adam Gase, maybe, in New York, kind of.
To living on that.
Adam Gase, I feel like, isn't a servant, but he just sucks.
Yeah, he's just bad. He's just bad.
Just bad at his job, so... That's that. Now, off of that, Teddy Bridgewater went to the Carolina Panthers from the Saints, finally getting a starting job again after sitting behind Breeze. That really paid off for him after Breeze went down. And
he really
Teddy,
proved himself.
Yeah, Teddy did very, very well last season. And now,
you do question, though, Carolina doesn't have as many weapons as the Saints did in Jared Cook and Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
But you still... And Alvin Kamara.
Mm.
They have Christian McCaffrey, and I have no idea who the receivers are.
They got DJ Moore, who is a good young wide receiver, and he could do really well, but at the same time, there's not a ton of other wide receivers out there. There's Curtis Samuel. They have a really young wide receiver core that hasn't really...
They don't have a very consistent core, but maybe in a few years that'll be really good.
No, I think they can definitely add a few pieces in there, maybe some older guys, but they look like a really young team. They look like they could, like, the NFC South right now. I know that everybody's crazy about the Buccaneers, but at the same time,
they still might come. Like, you have to look at
that division. That division is insane.
There's a chance that they even come like a wild card, because you might think like, well, I don't know how the seeding's going to work in this new expanded playoff format.
There's only one person that gets a bye week. The rest of the teams play in the wild card.
Yeah.
One team from each conference.
And then you think maybe like Saints at one, and then Falcons and Bucks will probably battle for 2-3, and the Panthers will be pretty close behind.
I think right now, looking at the NFC South, I would say the Bucks and the Saints are going to be the top two, and then the Panthers and the Falcons are going to be the bottom 3 and 4. But all of them really have...
It's kind of a toss-up.
Yeah, all of them have an argument that they can be a playoff team this year. Like, it's so competitive. I mean, I can't really tell which one's going to be the best one. And I think because the division's so competitive, I think that a lot of those teams... Like, in 2016, I don't know, 2014 or something like that, one of those years, the NFC South, I think the Panthers won the division. They were like 7-9. It'd be just because, not because the division was horrible, but because it was just super competitive, and that every single game was a toss-up between those teams. And I think it's not going to be that drastic that this year. I feel like
there's no team that's going to blow out the others.
Yeah, three of those teams are going to possibly have a winning record. And I think that three of them can definitely make the playoffs. And, like, any of them really can, to be honest. But it's just going to be really, 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 really interesting to see that division. That's the best division in football. I can say that very confident right now. The NFC South is the best division in football. And the AFC East, when Brady left, looks like it turned into the worst division in football. So,
yeah.
That or the NFC East, which kind of sucks.
Which is who?
Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, and Redskins.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Which isn't that good. Besides for, like... Well, the Eagles are kind of loaded up.
They have bit, but, those are franchises with more money, but it's just still bad.
Yeah, that division is so competitive now. The NFC South, oh my god! And with Brady leaving the AFC
is weak.
Is so weak. Like, name me a team besides for the Chiefs right now that is going to compete in the AFC.
Possibly the Ravens if Lamar Jackson stays healthy.
If Lamar can stay healthy, but at the same time, he just doesn't have an arm, and that's going to kill him, I feel.
Once he starts getting older, he's just going to fall off.
Yeah.
And he's going to have a really good peak, and then he's going to fall off really fast.
You can say the Steelers with Big Ben coming back, but at the same time, Ben has he's coming off a really bad injury, and he had interception problems the year before he even had that injury. So how many picks is he going to throw now?
And how rusty is he going to be?
Yeah. And he doesn't have any weapons anymore. They're all gone.
Juju.
Well, Juju's not. He's better as a second wide receiver. We saw him, his flaws.
Yeah, he's not good as a primary.
As a number one. I think he had under 600.
Do you think he could be a target that the Patriots might try and approach?
Schuster?
Or is he an untouchable?
Nah, I don't think so. Yeah, he only had 552 yards last season as the number one wide receiver, which is kind of pathetic.
But at the same time, it is hard as a primary wide receiver when everybody underneath you is hot garbage.
Exactly. I mean, name a wide receiver besides for Juju on the Steelers right now.
Couldn't.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time. Wait. No. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah, a bunch of garbage, unfortunately, for Roethlisberger. And Roethlisberger right now, I don't know if any of y'all have seen the picture of him.
He looks homeless.
He looks like, he looks homeless. It's pretty bad. He needs to fix himself. He
needs to shave.
Yeah.
And I'm leaving.
I don't think Ben's going to be good coming to next season at all, but yeah. Talking about the NFC East, like we were calling them one of the worst divisions in football, Amari Cooper signed a 5-year, $100 million deal with the Cowboys. I believe it was 100. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty rich for a wide receiver. Wait, let me check those numbers, actually. I feel like it was 100. Let me check the numbers. Anyways, he had, $100 million. So that's $20 million a year for a wide receiver, which is supposedly what Hopkins wanted. That's a lot for Amari Cooper. I mean, damn. A bit much.
And now they have money to give Prescott.
I don't think anybody was offering that to Amari Cooper, nor would I at all. Why would you give that much money to Amari Cooper? That's
like,
quarterback
yes, he's
numbers.
He's good, but he does not. That's not like the Cowboys just love throwing way too much money at players that don't deserve it.
They have the money, but at the same time, why? Like, Amari Cooper is a great wide receiver, and I love Amari Cooper, and I think that he's disrespected, but. You know, he had those down seasons, and he's not a top five wide receiver in the league, and that's top five wide receiver money. You can't give him a 5-year,
arguably top
million.
Three.
Yeah, like that's some money that you'd give. Like, I don't like giving wide receivers over 17, just because that you're getting
injury.
You're getting into quarterback territory, and wide receivers aren't going to get you over the top. Like. Larry Fitzgerald pretty much played with just him, besides for when he was with Kurt Warner, and now he's with Kyler, obviously, and Carson Palmer. But besides for that, when he was playing with, like, John Skelton and, like, Drew Stanton and all that, it was just him as the wide receiver and nothing else. If you only have enough money to sign the wide receiver, you sign a wide receiver to quarterback money, and you can't sign a quarterback because of that, you're not going to win. If you sign a quarterback to that type of money, and you can't necessarily sign like the best wide receiver out there, but you can sign average ones, you can win.
And Dak hasn't re-signed with them yet, right?
He got franchise tagged, which is a lot of money, but it's only 1-year contract. So it's like a trial year. Basically.
And they gave him way too much money, and he said he wanted more. So I'm not sure. I just think the Cowboys are going to be bad again.
I don't love the contract for Amari. He's a key piece, but I think you could have.
I think the Cowboys did not handle their finances correctly this offseason.
I think you could have shot a little lower, because I think the only team that was really looking into Amari that much was like the Redskins. And the Redskins aren't really in contention right now, and you would think that they would probably spend that money on something more valuable than Amari Cooper. So I don't really think the Redskins were going to prepare to spend $20 million a year to get Amari Cooper. And if they were, they're complete idiots. But I think it's just completely overspending on this for Amari.
Well, that's what the Cowboys seem to be doing lately.
I think it's complete overspending. I don't think it's responsible, and I think that whoever brought up this contract should be like,
Jerry Jones needs a mental check.
Yeah, I don't think that was a good contract at all. But anyways, the Raiders, they went out and they signed Cowboys tight end Jason Witten, one of the best tight ends to ever play the game.
But you just think, is he still
also
like functioning?
Like, why do the Raiders need another tight end? They have Darren Waller, who had an amazing season, and they signed him to an extension for 4 years, so he's like their future tight end. And he did pretty well. He was like their Derek Carr's
maybe main. Just extra blocking purposes.
I think the signing is mostly just like mentorship for Waller, but at this point, does he need that? And or maybe just a tight end duo. But at the same time, Witten's kind of washed a little bit. So I don't know. But I think having Jason Witten in Las Vegas is actually kind of an interesting concept. I think he looks good in Raiders jerseys. So he's a bigger name for them. So this is interesting there. But at the same time, probably Jason Witten should have retired as a Cowboy.
Yeah.
That seems kind of right. But
same thing with Brady.
Then again, Brady should have retired with the Patriots because that seems right. Maybe he still will. Who knows? But yeah. The biggest news of the week was
DeAndre Hopkins, he got traded to the Cardinals for David Johnson and
a fourth round pick,
I believe, and I believe
2021 something.
A second? Yeah, I think Cardinals shipped over a second, a fourth, and David Johnson for DeAndre Hopkins.
But at the same time, the Cardinals already have Kenyon Drake to replace him, ready to step up.
Yeah.
And now they have Larry Fitzgerald and DeAndre Hopkins paired together. Yeah. So, obviously, in the NFC, probably not going to go that far on a run, but it's still going to be really entertaining to watch on the offensive end of the spectrum, and they're going to be a very entertaining team to watch. Hopefully, now, they can make it work.
Yeah, the Cardinals did a really good job on this trade, getting Kyler a weapon, and they look like they can contend next season in a stacked NFC. They already look like a really good team, especially with Cliff Kingsbury and that air raid offense that he runs, and that I think that's going to work so well with Kyler and
it's really
Hopkins.
Hard to guard.
They look like they're going to be really good next year. Like, they're going to put crazy numbers, I think. And I think on the ground and it through the air, just Kyler's just going to – he's going to take a huge step next season, and you can take that to the book. Like, I can guarantee you Kyler's going to take a huge step next season. I wouldn't be surprised if the man goes over 30 touchdowns. I think he's going to take a huge step.
Mm-hmm.
And he already saw the potential in his rookie season. It wasn't anything crazy, but you could see it there. He improved the Cardinals immediately. And now you add a arguably the best wide receiver in football, preferably I say Julio. But at the same time, Julio doesn't really get it done in the red zone totally, which is what he should be for his size. But obviously still a great wide receiver, puts up great yardage numbers, which is and yardage numbers is what matters for a wide receiver. But nonetheless, Hopkins, great add. The whole entire thing with Bill O'Brien and Hopkins and stuff, it's like,
it's really questionable.
I think the story that came out about Hopkins and Bill saying like he hasn't brought someone into a meeting like this. The last time he did it was with Aaron Hernandez, kind of messed up, and the whole entire thing about having his baby mamas around and stuff, like that whole entire thing, that's kind of messed up on Bill's part if that is true. But at the same time, Hopkins put out a tweet that it was
people were overreacting and that it wasn't actually that big of a deal.
I think that's if he got traded for that reason, that's messed up. But another story that came out was that he got traded because he was preparing to hold out for a contract extension of $20 million and up, which I would say heck no, especially
if you see that Amari Cooper got those numbers. DeAndre Hopkins is going to use that as leverage to say I deserve that.
But at the same time, you got Deshaun Watson coming into a contract year after this upcoming season.
And
so
the question is,
spend do that much
you
money.
Keep Deshaun, like, what's Deshaun Watson going to do without DeAndre Hopkins?
Yes. Well, he still has Kenny Stills on the roster, and obviously
Will Fuller,
he has weapons, nonetheless.
Just not the weapons that he really would like to rely on.
Exactly.
They're both really good, just pretty inconsistent.
I would have got a better package, obviously. Bill O'Brien is obsessed with trading for running backs. I do not understand why. Last season, he traded for Carlos Hyde, who's a free agent now, so he doesn't have any more. And Lamar Miller is also a free agent, so those two aren't on the books anymore. But he trades for David Johnson now. Last season, he traded for Carlos Hyde, and he traded for Duke Johnson while still having Lamar Miller. Well, Lamar got injured, but he had so much running backs on the roster last season, and he just can't stop trading for running backs. I do not know why he's so attracted to the running back position, but he is. And you really don't need that a ton right now, but I guess so. You could have just signed Lamar Miller back for another year or Carlos Hyde or something, but he went after David Johnson, which could be a good move. But at the same time, like, what are you doing? And you went out and you go out and you see what the Bills got for Diggs. They traded a first round pick, which is a Bills first round pick, which is pretty good for Diggs. And you see that you only get a second and a fourth back and David Johnson, who could be good or bad. Who knows?
He's old, so you never know.
For Hopkins, who is miles better than Stephon Diggs. Like, what are you doing?
Other than the fact that Stephon Diggs is a bit younger.
You probably could have demanded two first-round picks and David Johnson for Hopkins, and you would have got that. It's just so confusing. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll see you after that.
And we're back from the break with some Nick Foles getting traded to the Bears. Apparently, the Bears fans were not happy that the seeming to move on from Mitch Trubisky, trading away a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles. And, yeah, I don't really have much to say about that.
Yeah,
so, he did well for the Eagles in the Super Bowl when Wentz got
injured. And then he did horrible in Jacksonville.
But, yeah, he didn't really do anything.
Yeah. Now, I think this is a good move because, you know, Foles possibly could work out in Chicago. I don't think he's going to work out that well. But at the same time, I think you need to push Trubisky. I like Trubisky. I think he just had a down year last year, personally. But I think you need to get someone to push him, and I think they did a good job bringing him in. I think this is a win-win. If Foles doesn't work out, then you just trade him off or release him. And if he doesn't work, that means Trubisky probably outplayed him. Mm-hmm. Or Foles just sucked. But at the same time,
you gotta give Trubisky a little bit
of
motivation to try and get better.
If Foles does good and he takes Trubisky's job, then boom, you got a quarterback. And if Foles does bad but still pushes Trubisky, then Trubisky improves. So it's a win-win. I don't see why Chicago fans should be mad about this. I think it's a pretty good move overall. And it's a fourth-round pick. What are you losing? You're losing some guy that you're probably going to cut in 2 years. Most likely, maybe a guy that's going to be a good player in the league, but, you know, it's Nick Foles. You're trying to improve your quarterback situation. I think the top priority right now should be salvaging the number two overall pick that you possibly could have wasted on Mitch Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been a wasted pick. We don't know that yet, but it could be. But you want to salvage that thing because you trade a lot to trade up to number two, and you should definitely be preserving Mitch as far as you can go because, I mean, you wasted a lot
you
on
spent
him.
If a
you,
lot to if get he, that, man.
If he fails, so you definitely want to invest a lot. Another big thing is that the Rams released Todd Gurley a few years after he signed a big extension with a lot of money. Obviously, this is to clear up cap space. The Rams are in horrible cap trouble because they've signed so many free agents like the past few years. And the Rams are going into what we call a deep pit of sadness, otherwise known as the rebuild, where you go and you get Chargers crowds and you have no fans because you suck and you're in LA. And you have Jared Goff, who's okay, but at the same time, look at last season. So hopefully they can recover from that. You know, Cooper Kupp's good, Robert Woods is good, but at the same time, you have Brandon Cooks is going to probably get traded. It's more likely that he gets traded than he stays. Gurley's gone. He had injury problems, but at the same time, he was like one of the best players in football when he wasn't injured. I think they have like Daryl Henderson back there now, I want to say. Something like that. I'm not really sure where they're at for running backs necessarily, but it's nothing, no good place for a team to be at. And overall, the Rams are going into rebuild stage. Falcons got like miles better by signing Todd Gurley instead of having Devontae Freeman. Devontae Freeman was a good back, but he had injury struggles as well and doesn't put up the same production Gurley does when he's healthy. So that's crazy having Todd Gurley, Matt Ryan, and Julio Jones all in the same offense and Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, that's going to be a exciting offense.
Yeah, I think I've raved about the NFC South in the first half, and I just have to say it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be a very offensive league. Lots of offensive signings on that. Not much defensive movement there.
Yeah. And LA continues to be the pit of sadness in football. I don't know why any team moved there. I cannot express it enough. LA, nobody cares about the team unless they do good. And even if they do good, they still don't get a lot of crowds. I mean, the Chargers can't even fill a soccer stadium. When they do good, they barely have any fans show up to that. They should have never moved to San Diego. And you see how much the St. Louis fans responded to the XFL, the Battlehawks coming into St. Louis. They filled the dome and they love it. But now you have the Rams and they can't fill their stadium
at all. And that the Rams and the Chargers are moving into a huge new stadium, and that could bring in a lot of fans, yes. But at the same time, it look really sad when both teams suck and they're in a big stadium and there's nobody there.
It'll be really sad to have spent that much money on such a nice stadium and a nice hotel connected to it with some pools overlooking
and like the field. Crap. They
have and a lot in just there. A whole, like, I don't even know. They're building a lot of things just for two sad franchises to rot and do nothing.
Yeah. It's a sad existence.
So you hope one of the teams gets better sometime soon.
And for the true LA fans, you know, I see you. There's just not a lot of you, a lot of you out there right now. Not
enough to look substantial.
And I feel horrible for, like, you guys that you don't have really any fans out there. And I think there should be a lot of fans out there, but there's not. So, yeah, it'd just be like that sometimes. Melvin Gordon, after holding out, he failed on his holding out, and he got a 2-year, $16 million contract with the Broncos. Why does this make no sense? Because the Broncos already have Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay in the backfield. Phillip Lindsay probably should disconnect from Royce Freeman. I think he should have a long time ago, and I think they should have given the reins to Lindsay instead of him splitting carries with Royce the whole entire time, because he still got over 1,000 while splitting carries with Royce. But now you bring in Melvin, who I love Melvin Gordon. I think he's a really good running back, and he's a true number one. But you bring him into a running back room that has Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay, who are two starting caliber running backs. Melvin Gordon, the whole reason why he was holding out is, yes, because he wanted money, but at the same time, he wanted to he wanted to be the number one running back in the room. He wanted to be treated like the number one guy.
So now you think...
So he leaves and he joins a more stacked one.
Are the Broncos going to look to trade away Lindsay or Freeman?
I really think they would trade away Freeman, but I want them to trade away Lindsay because Lindsay's the one that
I think should, Lindsay like, be deserves
the number one running back.
Obviously, Lindsay probably likes being in Denver because that's where he's been, but I think he deserves to go to a new franchise that will give him the respect he deserves and gets the touches that he deserves, so he can put up the numbers that he's capable of.
Yeah, I definitely think that Phillip Lindsay needs to get more respect from the coaching staff in Denver, and I don't think he gets any, really, because they're just putting carries with him. And now you're getting Melvin Gordon. Like, you didn't need a running back, first of all.
You need anything but a running back.
Yeah, exactly. You need anything but a running back in Denver. And I'm sure they're very excited about Melvin Gordon, as I would, but you don't need him. You don't need Melvin. Like, I was thinking Tampa Bay so much because Tampa Bay needs a running back, and Melvin in Tampa Bay would be perfect, but he went to Denver.
Because he wants money, and they probably
can't really afford it. It really doesn't make much sense at all. I don't know. Melvin just confused me with this move. It doesn't make much sense, but yeah.
Well, maybe because if he was going to go to the Bucs, he might have had to take a pay cut because of
the massive salary. Or the Bucs just didn't have any interest, to be honest.
I don't see why they wouldn't.
I don't see why they wouldn't either, but him going to the Broncos makes it seem like maybe he didn't have a huge market, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but maybe he just didn't have a market.
And obviously
him in Houston would have been
with
good
him
too.
And his not being afraid to hold out, that might have been a deterrent to most teams where they don't want to have to deal with a player that's making lots of money but won't play with you because he wants you to give him more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's confusing. Best of luck to Melvin, though, in Denver. I think he'll do well there, but I really hope for the best of Phillip, I love Phillip Lindsay. I'm not saying he should get traded because he's bad, but I'm saying he's getting traded. He should get traded because he should get treated like a number one back, and he should. The only way he's going to get traded like a number one back is if he leaves Denver. Mm-hmm. So I think he should go, personally. I think he should go. Emmanuel Sanders, he signed with the Saints on 2-year contract. They're loaded now. They got Michael Thomas. They got Emmanuel Sanders. They got Jared Cook.
Yeah, they still have Jared Cook.
Yeah. Yeah, they still do. They got Kamara. They got Breeze, obviously, coming back on 2-year, $50 million deal. Sanders was a number one receiver in San Francisco, and he did really well for them. And Jimmy G, I don't know why he left that, but he joins the Saints, and they look insane now with that. I mean, just crazy.
He probably wants a ring, and he thinks that's his best chance of getting one.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, the 49ers traded away DeForest Buckner in that puzzling move, so they kind of, I don't see their direction. Maybe Emmanuel doesn't see that either, and he's kind of joining that Saints squad to go chase one, and I don't blame him, to be honest.
Because the Saints have been ripped off year after year, so they're hungry, they're ready to get one. Yeah. And Emmanuel Sanders obviously has that fire after that heartbreaking loss in the Super Bowl this past year.
Yeah, and this is the most stacked they've looked since they won the Super Bowl back in like 09, to be honest.
Against?
In Indy.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the most stacked they've looked since then. I mean, they look really good. And they got Malcolm Jenkins coming back too, who's an OG of the Saints at safety. So they're looking good. They got a good core. It's an older core, but it looks really, 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 really good.
Yes, it is older, but they're none of them are looking any faded or washed up, and hopefully yeah. they don't become that.
They're all top, still performing top tier.
Yeah. So
that would be very good for them. Let's talk about the Patriots quarterback situation just for a few minutes. Brady left.
Mm-hmm.
The only two quarterbacks left on the roster right now are Jarrett Stidham and Cody Kessler.
Never heard of Cody Kessler.
Yeah, Cody Kessler, he played for the Browns for a little bit. He did all right there, but then he got released and he bounced around the league. He played some games in Jacksonville the season before last season. Then he got picked up by us as a third string quarterback, the Patriots. And he pretty much hasn't done much. He's a non-factor. Cody Kessler is a non-factor. He will not start a game for the Patriots unless somehow he comes out of nowhere, improved 1,000,000%, and beats Jarrett Stidham out for a starting job. But
I doubt it.
Yeah.
And you can get Cam Newton, but you'd have to trade something for him.
Or, well, actually, he's not having a ton of value on the market right now, so there's rumors he might get released.
Or you could pick him up as a free agent, which would probably be ideal. There's Jameis Winston, who is coming off an eye surgery, so you're wondering if that might really help improve his game.
Yeah,
and obviously Bill Belichick is just, he's amazing.
I think he can craft Winston.
Bill Belichick can craft just about anybody. So even if Belichick decides to stick with Stidham, I know Belichick has a vision for him, and in Bill we trust.
Yeah. I'm confident in Stidham if they do stick with Stidham. I think they need to. My ideal situation is Stidham.
Sign receivers or tight end.
Yeah, sign receivers and tight end. Well, sign a tight end, definitely. But my ideal quarterback situation is Stidham, draft a quarterback, not first round, but like third, like Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And then sign a quarterback. So say Newton gets released, which I think time will tell what will happen, but I think he's going to get released because I don't think any team right now, the Dolphins and the Patriots are the only team that really needs a quarterback, and the Dolphins are waiting for Tua, I believe. So they're going to wait until the draft. So the Patriots are really the only team, and they're going to wait for the release if they're willing. And right now, Newton and the Panthers do not have a good relationship, so that he's going to get released.
Yeah.
You sign Newton on cheap contract or Winston. Preferably, they're probably going to go with Newton because that's just where the reports are at and he's more experienced. And then you say draft Jalen Hurts or someone like that, or the kid out of Hawaii. And then you have Stidham. You have all three of them and Kessler.
Mm-hmm.
You have them all fight it out at training camp during the preseason. And that's how you figure out the starter. You keep two on the roster. Keep two on the roster, or three. If Newton wins, then I'd keep three on the roster. But if Newton lost and like somehow Newton got released, you'd release Newton and you'd keep Stidham
and someone you draft.
Stidham, someone you draft, and maybe Kessler as the third string type guy, because I don't think Newton's going to take the backup role.
No. Yeah. If Newton's not going to start, he's not going to want to be there.
Yeah. So you would release him, let him go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But you want a like veteran type of guy, I think, to push Stidham. I don't think you want to gift Stidham the job, although Belichick's really like friends with Stidham. Stidham, I think, will do well. I wouldn't be surprised next season if he starts, he gets over 20 touchdowns. I think he's going to have a good touchdown to interception ratio. I think he'll be efficient. But
you know, Stidham and Belichick already have a pretty good relationship. Belichick likes him. Stidham played in the SEC for Auburn. He won key games, was one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC for like past 10 years, I'd say. He had a very good college career. And, you know, you can see he can compete at a high level. But it's just, does he, you know, he's a fourth round pick. And he's only had 1 year in the league. And we've only really seen him in the preseason for actual NFL football. So that's concerning. But, you know, Patriots with him, they finally have a mobile quarterback. They're going to have more time in the pocket because he can break free. He's not going to take sacks like Brady does. So you're pretty much eliminating 10 sacks in a season by having Stidham as your starting quarterback instead of Brady. So you're going to have more time. That's going to create more first downs because you're going to have more time to look for receivers and things like that. So it could be beneficial.
And possibly if you do plan on going with Stidham and then drafting someone to be under him, unless the person you draft is proving to be really good throughout training camp, you maybe give Stidham more time in the preseason games than a usual starter would, just to kind of get him acclimated to actually being in this offense. Obviously, he spent all of last season watching Brady, seeing how he runs the offense, and Stidham won't be anything like Brady next season, but I think he has potential to be a decent quarterback and maybe step up to a role if we can provide him some weapons.
Yeah, the Patriots have had so many. They've only had Tom Brady, is what I'm trying to say. They've only had Tom Brady. And what New England really needs right now is a classic quarterback battle. They haven't had that in a long while, and that's what they need.
We haven't had to choose a quarterback in 20 years.
They need a refresher, and this is the starting over new for the New England Patriots, and they need to make sure that they make the right choices here and do it right. And I think that bringing in multiple quarterbacks instead of just settling on one right now before he even steps on the field is the right decision. You can't just settle right now. If you have a real good feeling about it, okay, but even still, you need to bring in people.
You see, my
you can't
thing
sit
is,
with one guy the whole
if
time.
If we do go with someone like Newton or Winston, Belichick doesn't seem like he's the fondest of having a mobile quarterback because they don't necessarily really fit into his offensive game plan. So maybe you think he tries to teach Newton or Winston to maybe stay in the pocket a little more. Or maybe he adjusts the offense, has McDaniels adjust the offense for them. So
I think
maybe
McDaniels would be he could adapt a little bit more flexible for running quarterbacks. And they've been drafting more mobile type guys like Garoppolo. He's not super mobile, but he can be
more
mobile.
Than Brady.
You know, they've been drafting mobile guys lately, so I think they're trying to adapt after Brady left
to the new like NFL where you don't necessarily have a Lamar Jackson at quarterback, but maybe someone with the athleticism
of
Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, you want someone who has legs, but they want a
arm
happy
comes
medium.
First.
You want the arm. The arm's the first. You want a guy that can stick in the pocket and take hits, and he can make long throws downfield that are accurate.
And then
that's
if he
number
can
one.
Have like maybe the agility of Mahomes and be kind of shifty, but not like explosive.
Yeah, if you can scramble for 10 yards when you need it, that's all you really need.
Maybe even 5.
Yeah, that's what you need in today's NFL. So, yeah, that's what we got for NFL stuff today. Let's get on to the good old COVID-19.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the MLB may drop their draft as a kind of financial thing. I don't know how that would work for the new incoming prospects. Would they just get signed, or would they go into next year's draft? Would they get screwed over? It's kind of weird how that would work for MLB. But do they really need to scrap the draft because of the financials?
Like, just don't hold like a big event for it. Just have
they
the...
don't
exactly.
They hold it in their the MLB Network studio. That's how low the MLB draft is.
All you have to do is just have, don't even have that. Just have like two reporters cover it.
Yeah.
And then just have all the people just make calls.
You don't have to cancel it.
You don't have to have any handshakes. You avoid all contact. All you do is you make a phone call, say, hey, we're drafting you.
The MLB, is in the perfect position for like when coronavirus hits to still have the draft, because there's barely anybody in there. It's not important. People don't care about watching it unless you're super, super diehard baseball. Like, no one cares about the MLB draft. It's the least watched draft, besides for maybe the NHL, which I think still more people watch, and I'm more interested in the NHL draft than the MLB draft. So, like, you are set up for when a virus hits to do your draft. The NFL,
more people will pay attention to it because there's literally nothing else to look at.
The NFL and MLB are not set up for that. They're big events, big stadiums, big draft stages in big cities.
You mean NBA, not MLB.
No, NBA and NFL.
You said MLB.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways. Yeah. NBA and the NFL, like, NBA is in the Barclays Center, a lot of fans. NFL's like next up on that. They have stages in the middle of the friggin' city, and there's fans everywhere, and it's super rowdy and stuff. Like, that is not prepared for COVID-19. And they made the right call, and they're going to be like, okay, we're going to do it like the MLB draft. Maybe not like super televised, but it's still going to be covered. They're going to your format, and now the MLB is like, oh no, our format's not safe. Well, of course it's safe, because there's barely anybody there. It makes no sense to cancel it if you're the MLB, so I don't know what they're doing there. Anyways, on to the NBA with the coronavirus. It was just the
Utah Jazz
that had corona, but now a ton of stuff has popped up. One Nuggets player has it. Four Nets players have it, including Kevin Durant. Marcus Smart from the Celtics has it. Three Philadelphia 76ers have the coronavirus, and two Lakers have the coronavirus. And this brings up a lot of people are saying the isolation from corona and all that is going to affect the NBA because people are going to be out of shape coming back, which I agree, because everybody right now is kind of just streaming.
Yeah.
Like,
obviously, some athletes have like their own little gyms in their house somewhere because they make way too much money. But I'm sure they do workouts at their own houses. They just might not be, they definitely won't be in like full NBA shape, but they won't be like
LeBron's obese. Not going to be,
LeBron will still be,
he'll
jacked.
Still be in shape. And like most of the guys will still be in shape. I don't think it's a super big deal, but the NBA is a little more loose with that type of stuff. So
yeah. I'm not really concerned about
like
the players.
Being Giannis Antetokounmpo is not going to come back and be like fat and can't jump and has no athleticism anymore.
He'll be just fine.
He'll be just okay. Maybe for the like smaller players.
Yeah,
like
you may worry about like the lower tier players that don't really.
Evan Fournier.
Yeah. The Magic team.
Anthony Bennett. is he still in the league?
I don't know.
I don't think he is. I think he got released by the G League. Like, Anthony Bennett's a sad story of failure in UNLV education.
Okay.
I have nothing against UNLV. I don't even know what their education is like, but they don't produce the best basketball players according to Anthony Bennett. NFL was affected by coronavirus this week. Saints head coach Sean Payton has coronavirus. Sad moment for Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're getting stacked up. You know, Sean just got Emmanuel Sanders with coronavirus, so you know he's fighting through it, making signings, doing good stuff,
and
staying
one
isolated.
One thing you do see is with like all the athletes who have got the virus, they're all saying like, yes, I tested positive, but I have no symptoms and I feel perfectly normal.
Yeah, they all feel
so that's good to see that they're like not really being affected by it, other than the fact that they can't really do anything with their lives for 2 weeks. And there's numerous soccer players across the world that have it.
Mm.
And yeah.
What we know is that none of these athletes are going to die.
Yeah.
Everything is okay here. Just wash
the
your hands.
The only person you worry about is Pops.
Yeah. Wash your hands for 20 seconds. Get your social distancing.
Six feet.
Yes. and, you know, we're going to fight through this stuff. And we'll be okay. And
it won't last forever.
Yeah, we'll be over this in a few weeks, months, something like that. It's not the end of the world. It's going to be okay. The toilet paper may be gone, but our hearts are still there. That's all I have to say. So with that, we're going to end this podcast. We're back on the grind, back on the consistency. Alejandro will probably be back next week. We thought he would be in today, but he's not. Check out the YouTube. That's popping right now. We got a lot of stuff going on.
Lots of good highlight videos.
Yeah, so just search up Sports Report Podcast on the search engine. Any search engine you want to use. You can use Google. You can use Firefox. We saw 2.9% of our viewers use DuckDuckGo.com. I don't recommend that. It seems kind of shady, but you know, you can use that too if you want.
Still works.
So Sports Report Podcast on YouTube. We have a lot of highlight videos up on there. Jarrett Stidham video seems to be very popular right now.
Almost we put a lot of breaking news out on Instagram as well.
Instagram, Sports Report, at Sports Report News and at Sports Report Podcast. Both of them put out sports news. So if you want to stay updated in NFL free agency, I would highly recommend those pages. And just anything going on with podcasts, I highly recommend that page. Also on Twitter, we also stay updated with a podcast and news and opinions at Sports Report Po 1. So that is our Twitter handles and all that, and our Instagram handles. Thank you guys so much for listening. For anybody out there that is listening to this podcast, we love you so much. We couldn't do this without you guys. Just keep supporting, guys. We just keep growing. We're doing pretty good. We're thinking about some YouTube stuff, and there's going to be some more content out on that. And we love you guys, and we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Adios.